the three voices of God. And yes, we do hear those, whether we think about it or not. The scripture selection comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. May we hear the word of the Lord. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Did you hear one of them? From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. He speaks to us through scripture. That's number one, but we'll continue. Verse 16, here it says it again, just plainer. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May we pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word. And we know that you speak to us through your holy scriptures. But there are other ways that we do hear you. And we will learn of these in just a few moments. But Lord, we are truly blessed people. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for the reading and the hearing of your word, and may it bless us always. In Christ's name we pray, amen. How many of you just love cell phones? How many, like myself, tolerate them because it's a necessary evil? Nothing is more frustrating than having your cell phone, talking to somebody, and it's an important phone call, and it's dropped. Right in the middle of the conversation, and you want to throw it somewhere. You keep talking, but you have no idea initially that someone else is no longer on the line. Do you ever feel like that with God? We have no idea whether God's on the line or not, that he's listening, or how to tell whether he's communicating with us. Today, let's look at three ways in which God speaks to us, and the way and how much he speaks to us really is based on how much we're paying attention to his word and study his word. First, as I said, the first way that God speaks to us is through a very powerful and direct communication through the Holy Scripture. It provides God's point of view to us. If you want to know what God thinks about something, go to the Bible. You can find the answer to every question. Go to the Bible. And God is there in each verse. God's point of view, we get His commands, His promises, His principles. Though it's different in each book depending on the author and the circumstance, it's exactly what God intends to communicate to us. So if you're looking at Daniel, maybe the wording is a little bit different than it is in Timothy, but it's different authors, but it's still the same gospel. And we are truly blessed. It contains real letters to real people. Many people treat the Bible as a very different book. And this is true. It is different than any other book you could go to. It contains the direct Word of God. But they also get confused because ultimately the Bible is a compilation of literature throughout thousands of years. It is history, it is narratives. It is poetry. It is letters. All of these are somewhat mutually exclusive, but together they form the whole counsel of God's Word. We're always reading over the shoulders of the writers, so to speak. The Bible was written for us, but not to us. So we need to understand the context of the Word. We need to worry about clear stuff, not obscure stuff. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that. Peter, an apostle, in these verses refers to Paul's letters as hard to understand. He also says that ignorant people distort these things. This should come to us as somewhat of a warning. It's easy to get caught up in the obscure and the difficult portions of Scripture. To fight over those things to the detriment of the rest of the Bible, most of which is crystal clear if you study it enough. The purpose of the Bible is not to make us theologically smart, even though it could, but for correction and instruction in righteousness, to change how we live, according to Titus chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It does help us theologically, but it's to show us how to live daily and how to live for all tomorrows that will ever come. So the first voice of God is the Bible. The second one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides spiritual insight and understanding. The Bible tells us what's wrong, what's right, who God is, who Jesus Christ is, how we're supposed to live. The Holy Spirit guides us through living out this knowledge with spiritual insights and understanding. It tells us how that we are supposed to live with our fellow human beings. Not to judge anybody. That's God's job. He changes us from the inside out, John 16, verse 6 says. He changes us inside out. And if you're a strong Christian, you thoroughly understand that statement. When you step over the line and give Jesus the steering wheel instead of you trying to drive your life everywhere and let Jesus be your guide, your life has changed. He forgives your sins. He adopts you into His family. And He comes and literally invades your life. And you are different from that point on. You have a different perspective of life. You are different with your spouses. You're different with your children, your co-workers, your family. You're different with your church family, as we found out in the Sunday school lesson this past week that we studied. As we grow in Christ, our minds are informed by Scripture and guided by the Spirit to have God's perspectives in our lives. So the first of the three voices of God was the Bible. The second one is the Holy Spirit. Have you guessed what the third one is? I will share. Wise counsel. He is our wise counsel. Together we can decipher things that we would otherwise miss. Because of our maturity level or sin in our lives, we often misinterpret Scripture or miss relevant passages completely. Don't you just stand there in amazement or utterly the lack thereof? When somebody tries to quote you Scripture and then wants to tell you what it's about and they miss the point altogether. You can't look at one verse, or you shouldn't, and think, well, this is what God was saying. This is what Paul was saying, or Moses. You have to read 2 or 3, 4 verses, maybe the whole section there. And you can understand the whole section then. I was thinking this morning, or even last night, I was thinking about verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I said, that's enough. But is it? You have to go back to 14 and 15 and then finish up with 17. And you get the gist of the whole thing. Sure, verse 16 is almost self-explanatory. And it is one great verse. A strong verse. The body of Christ works in unison, supporting the other members. You may be in a Bible study supporting others, and someone gives you a verse or an insight you hadn't considered. This is exactly how the body is intended to operate, not in isolation, but in unison. Isn't it amazing how the Bible fits Scripture, chapters? It's just wonderful for us to understand how the Bible works and how it speaks to us. Proverbs 13:10 tells us, isolation is a sign of spiritual arrogance. If we go through life with the attitude of, all I need is my Bible and the Holy Spirit. I heard that this week. It may sound spiritual, but to me it sounded a little bit arrogant. Anyone unwilling to turn to the wise counsel of our Lord is someone who will sooner or later make a fatal mistake. I don't know how many of you are baseball fans. Lou Gehrig, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, he was just starting his major league career, and he went into a slump, so much so that he was thinking about quitting. After several bad games, he doubted his talent, his abilities, and his entire spirit collapsed. A friend named Paul Critchell heard that his dear friend, Lou Gehrig, was having a slump. The first one that he'd ever been through in his life. He had been through Little League baseball, never had a slump. He'd been through high school, never had a slump. The first year he was in minor league baseball, the one and only year, he never had a slump. He was just Mr. Consistency. But here, he had a slump. So he called his dear friend, Paul Critchell, who had no athletic ability in his body. Lou invited him to a steak dinner at the Bond Hotel. They went and they were eating, and Lou was so quiet. He didn't know what to say. So his dear friend Paul took up the conversation. He said, "Lou Gehrig, you're a great, great man. You will be in the Hall of Fame. I guarantee it. But I would like to do something for you that may sound strange to you." And Lou said, "Well, I'm up for anything that can help me." He said, "Let us pray." And the Bond restaurant was full. It was packed. And Lou was embarrassed. Paul Critchell says, "You don't want Jesus Christ to be embarrassed about you. So don't you be embarrassed about Jesus Christ." He said, "Let us pray." So Lou bowed his head and he prayed. And he prayed for God's guidance, not only in his baseball playing, but in his life in general. Five minutes later, Lou Gehrig accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he started having something that heretofore was not allowed in dugouts: a Bible study. So he decided not to quit. He thanked Paul Critchell. He thanked God. He said, "I will not quit." And the next day he walks out, got up at bat four times, went 4 for 4. Two of them home runs. "I'm glad I didn't quit," says Lou Gehrig. "I'm glad I listened to Paul and to God." Sometimes we need to take that train. We need to track down someone. We need to buy them a steak. And we need to encourage them. We can do it in many ways. Our children need our encouragement. Their self-image is going to be based in large measure by their perceptions of what we think of them. Our friends are going to have a perception of us by how we treat them. Our church family It's going to do the same thing. But we're going to have more patience, more understanding. Our husbands and wives and children need our encouragement more than they need harping or criticism. Our co-workers and our leaders and our friends and our neighbors need to be built up. Blessed is the person who knows how to give and receive wise counsel. If you ever find the voices conflict, understand that the Bible is the most clear and should be the ruling factor in any discrepancy that you might have. God has been gracious enough to give us His Word, to give us His Holy Spirit, and to give us each other to speak for and to. And we are so grateful that we have the Bible, that we have the Holy Spirit, we have the wise counsel to really speak to us. So be listening. God's wanting to speak to you. Now you know where to find it and where to listen. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for the three voices that You share with us. They're each powerful in their own way. They're each important in their own way. And we pray to You, Heavenly Father, that You will truly bless us through each one. But to God be the glory. Amen.